Welcome to On Tap with Corey and Ira, where they discuss Southern Minnesota breweries and beer. Here's your host, Corey Butler and Ira Carlson.
Today's episode is supported by Angry Inch Brewing, located conveniently in downtown Lakeville, Minnesota. Celebrating 2 years in business, you can head to Angry Inch Brewing for angry beer for happy people. Head to angryinchbrewing.com to keep track of all the latest beers on tap. They're open Wednesday through Sunday, and you should head there today. Hello and welcome to On Tap with Corey and Ira, a bi-weekly show where we talk about Southern Minnesota breweries and beer. We took a little adventure out of Southern Minnesota today. Doesn't mean we're not going to highlight some of those fine folks from this end of the state, but we've got a great show coming up. Plenty to talk about. I really don't know where we start. I am Corey Butler.
And I'm Ira Carlson.
And Ira, as you're prone to each show, why don't you try to figure out what the heck we're going to talk about? Because there sure is a lot going on with this episode.
Well, it was definitely a big episode. We'll start with the housekeeping things. You've been way too busy getting us beer samples, so we got a bunch of beer to talk about here. Six different beers in front of us today. Also got a couple of beers of the week brought to us today by Firehouse Liquor. And of course, we have Andrew with the style of the week. And if that wasn't enough, we had a chance to sit down with Tim, the developer of the MN Craft Beer app, and have a little discussion with him. But that being said, we were had the luxury of being at All Pints North up in Duluth, the wonderful beer festival up there. 109 breweries, somewhere over probably 400 plus beers that were available anyways, if you were able to get there and test everything and all the rest of it. And we had the luxury of talking to eight different breweries that most of you have heard of. If you haven't, you should have. So we got kind of the big ones out of the way and a couple of local friends of ours as well, and had a great time.
Yeah, it really was an embarrassment of riches, whether you're there as a consumer to try all these different breweries and some of their offerings, or if you're a couple schleps like you and me going up there just to do an honest day of work where we talked to a few of the places. So we included, obviously, some of our friends nearby. We did some greater Minnesota. Throughout Minnesota, some of the bigger players, kind of like Ben Paddle and some in Sterling Shells, and then also some of the local places to Duluth, because the festival was in Duluth. It's the All Pints North Festival. It's their summer festival from the Minnesota Craft Brewers Guild, so it was nice to go up there. Like you said, we talked to eight people, tried to do a good mix of people we talked to, and I think we had a really good time. We're recording this a couple days after the fact. I think we're in good shape, but today we're working through a few more beers because somebody's got to do it, and we're willing to put our head on the line for everybody else to talk a little beer. But like you said, I've been kind of working elsewhere. I've been doing a lot of communication with local breweries throughout the state, and we've been sitting on kind of a backlog of beer like we've talked about and like I've mentioned in prior episodes. So we're going to get through actually six beers today. Five do come from one brewery, but we've got two different breweries we're going to chat about today. So we'll talk about the first one. They're actually on the show today as an interview. It's part of their new series. It's Ben Paddle's, their infusion series, taking their base beer Canoe, which, you know, I'm willing to go on record and say it's probably one of my favorite beers in the last year. It's their Session Pale Ale, just the base Canoe. We've had multiple session beers on here, but this one, the amount of flavor they were able to pack in was great. And this infusion series is kind of built off that. They did one prior to this that we talked about. It was their Tea Break Blonde. This is their Citrus Party Canoe. It's their Session Pale Ale base beer with citrus zest added. And it's got a nice little citrus flavor, as you would suggest from the name. And it's not a big beer at all. It comes in at 4.2% alcohol, and it's just so flavorful. And that's so hard to do when you're going to lower that ABV to maintain that flavor profile. They continue to impress me. There's a reason why they've grown as much as they did. You had the opportunity to go there last week after the festival, the day after, to check out their space, their new taproom space. They expanded and opened up a new space and used their prior space to kind of grow their footprint, but also have the new space. Ben Paddle, still doing well, quite well.
Oh, yeah, their new space is absolutely amazing. I'd been to the last one, which was a nice little spot. Kind of reminded me of, you know, some of the Minneapolis breweries where, a bar lined up on one side and some random tables.
Because
it's
a production brewery, and they built a tap space around that, so now they've built this new space that focuses
and this
on
new space
the tap
is,
space.
Yep, this new space is absolutely amazing. You know, they've got the more than enough ability. I think I counted that they could do, if I wanted, 20 plus beers on tap.
Sure.
And they had them filled.
And they're going to do some pilot stuff out there. It's going to be exclusive. They've always done some exclusive stuff to the tap room. I've been there a time or two, as I'm sure most of our listeners have. But this is just going to allow for them to do more.
Oh, yeah. And they had so much more space. And even with so much more space, and it may have been the day after Alpines North because of this, but the place was packed.
Sure.
It was hard to get a beer, and but when we did, they were all very good. And no, I really do enjoy this Citrus Party Canoe. Definitely very solid beer. The infusion is just right, subtle, but does the job.
Then we've got kind of quite the package that was shared with us from Bigwood Brewery. They're up in White Bear Lake, and they sent us down 5 different styles of beer. So, you know, we've been hard at work today, getting prepared for this. Beat you down a couple NHL games and got prepared for this. So we wanted to make sure we gave this a little time. But that's what makes us hard. We have more beers to cover. We want to make sure we give them enough time to kind of settle in our palate, kind of enjoy them instead of rushing through them. But the problem is then we end up drinking them unless we're taking notes, which we don't always do because we're playing hockey, right?
Yep.
So it's hard to go back to them sometimes. But so I'm going to name them off, and we can just kind of highlight maybe our favorite one or favorite two. So the 5 that got sent to us were the Jack Savage American Pale Ale, the Amigo Grande, that's their Mexican-style lager, the Morningwood Coffee Stout, the Fine IPA, and then this is a more and I think those are all standard beers they release year-round. And then the more recent, I think this is a special release, is their Dr. Azaka. That's a single hop pale ale. So I'll read a little bit about that real quick. So that's a new beer from their Mad Thaianist, as they like to put it, their brewmaestro, Ty McBee. So obviously there's Dr. Azaka hops in there, and it's got some weed in there. So the Azaka dry hops in there, and it's kind of a hazy concoction, and it's not very big for a beer. It's 4.7% IBUs or 40, but it's got a lot of hop flavor in there. So I like that. And then the other one that really, and I like them all, but the one that really stood out for me, and maybe it's because I just haven't had these in a while. I used to drink these quite often, and now that I think of it, I can't really remember the last time I had one, was the coffee stout. I really enjoyed the coffee flavor. I'm not a huge coffee guy. I drink it, you know, almost daily with a little creamer, nothing special. I'm not big on, you know, I'm not a big coffee snob, at least as much as I am with beer. But I really like the flavor. The roast was really nice, and they use Dunn Brothers coffee beans, so I've never really been to Dunn Brothers, so I can't speak to the coffee itself, but I really like what they're doing with the Morningwood. So that one stood out for me. They're all very good. I recommend go checking them out, but definitely check out Morningwood. That's kind of my favorite of this bunch. And then the Dr. Azaka, because it's new. It has a nice, interesting flavor to it. Some bold flavors, especially at a lower ABV. And I believe that's going to be a limited release. So check that one out. Ira, how about you? What do you like?
It was quite the range of beers that the Bigwood sent us here, you know, between the American Pale Ale, an IPA, a coffee stout, Mexican style lager, and of course, a single hop pale ale. They kind of went all over the board on it. And at the same time, there was a couple that really intrigued me. The Mexican style lager, just because I'm kind of like in that vein. I like them.
Sure.
I thought it was pretty decent. The coffee stout, like you said, solid, not too bold, just did what it was supposed to do. But I think I fell on the Fine IPA as kind of the beer that I liked out of it. Just had enough extra flavor to it, nice finish to it. I don't know why it would be that way, but I almost sense just a tinge of a spice at the end of it. It just had a nice flavor. So of the 5, you know, even though they went all over the place, I definitely liked the Fine IPA the most.
Yeah, the Fine IPA's got a collection of the Mosaic, Simcoe, and Azaka hops. Maybe the combination of that. You know, it's unfiltered, unpasteurized. So I feel like there's a good hop presence there as well, and just a touch of sweetness. So I also like that one. I think it's a pretty solid lineup they have. And if you haven't been, they've got a really cool space up in White Bear Lake, downtown White Bear Lake. Really nice space. Obviously, their beer is available just about anywhere you can find it in the greater Twin Cities metro area, I'm sure, beyond there. So go check them out. I should say, if you're listening to this live, you're probably listening to us on 95 The One FM or 1080 KYMN Radio. So we appreciate them hosting us every other Saturday here on the radio. You can find us also on iTunes, Google Play, Player FM, iHeartRadio, any number of places that you would listen to fine podcasts like this one. So go look for us there. You can also find us on social media at Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Just search for On Tap Northfield. That should get you to us on every one of those places. Although on Instagram, we are On Tap Northfield MN, because for some reason, I can't book On Tap Northfield, even though it doesn't appear that anyone has that. So you tell me. I don't know. So
no idea.
Find us on those places. They're great to see what we're doing. Like, we were just up at All Pines North. We visit breweries. We do videos. We do photos. Kind of a cool way to keep up with what we're doing. And then on our Facebook page, you can also see who we have coming up. So we've got a good list of folks coming up. We're going to fill that out into the November and beyond. We're kind of talking about different ideas right now for the winter, and Maybe we'll have something announced for that not too long down the road. But we're discussing a pretty cool idea, and we'll see if it comes together. Maybe it will. Maybe it won't. Either way, we always have fun shows, so we'll work out in the end. And then lastly, I should say, visit our website, ontapnorfield.com, where you can find all our prior shows as well as on those podcast platforms, as we mentioned. Got a great show. Stick around.
And now time for Beers of the Week, brought to us this week by Firehouse Liquor of Dundas. Our first offering is their Golden Road Brewing's Pineapple Cart. This is an interesting one coming out of Los Angeles, California. So not quite in our neck of the woods, but definitely distributed around here through Firehouse. It's the Pineapple Cart. So it's a pineapple wheat ale with blood orange and strawberry. Now, this sounds a little tropical, probably up Corey's vein here. But, but I wasn't expecting the orange and strawberry to work as well together, in the sense that wheat ales are always kind of been good to infuse, if you want, with the different flavors and stuff. But the pineapple, orange, and strawberry mix well enough. You made a comment earlier off air, which it does almost have like a subtle Jolly Rancher kind of a flavor or something it, where, you know, but it works out really well. This is definitely tasty. I enjoy it. I think I'm going to have the wife want to give it a try. I'm not finding an ABV on this one, but it definitely is coming off on the lighter side. Definitely tasty beer.
Well, the internet tells me that it comes in at 4%. So it's an easy drinker, and given the pedigree of a wheat beer, having some fruit mixed in, and it's end of July, early August, this is probably a pretty good time for a beer like this. And you may tease me about the tropical fruit stuff, but fruit's good. And it's good for you. And I say, hey, this helps towards my servings per day I need, right?
Of course.
So,
well, and the pineapple isn't, you know, you'd expect the pineapple to come off as acidic, and it's just there subtly with the flavor, and it blends well with everything else.
Yeah, the most prominent flavor I get is probably the strawberry, with the pineapple right after that. And that's just like any kind of smoothie, any kind of fruit dish you put together. I mean, the fruits should really blend together pretty well. And, you know, we don't know necessarily how they infuse fruit with this, if it was whole fruit, syrup, frozen, however many have done it, but it comes together into a nice little concoction. I think it's a nice flavor. You know, I could see this being a nice sipper, and by sipper, I mean, you know, gulp and gulp and gulp, because it's a small beer and it's hot out. It's not bad. We were looking up Golden Road, and apparently it's a big brewery out west, and obviously it's owned by AB InBev, but I had never heard of it, and I like this beer, so I'm curious if this is something they had created before being acquired or after, or I'm assuming they've had this before, and then it's just got to be expanded. But this is a fun beer. I like it. Distill one of your colloquial deals. It's a fun beer. And then the other offering, not so close as LA, no, just a tad closer, up in Big Lake, Minnesota, one of our recent connections that we've had on the show a couple times now, Lupulin Brewing, known for some big hop beers, and have done some different things. And this is their second, as far as I know, their Operation Cooperation. We had one on prior on the show with a collaborative beer with Barrel Theory out of St. Paul. This is with Odd 13 Brewing, and this is, surprise, surprise, an IPA. Comes in at 7% ABV, 50 IBU, so not off the charts. For those who are interested, it's a 7 SRM, and, you know, because they're nice, they put in the can 1 pint, in case you're keeping track of all the metrics. So, as usual, there's a mashup of malt, hops, and hop hash. Lupulin's big on the hop hash. And it's a nice golden liquid hop juice, which I would agree with. I mean, Lupulin continues to find different ways to present the IPA, and this is another solid way where they provide a good amount of flavor without being overbearing. And, you know, I'm not familiar with Odd 13 as much, but Lupulin has definitely gained the reputation of putting out a solid beer.
No, this is very solid, tasty, has just enough kind of a little funky haziness to it to kind of give it some character. Definitely a very good beer. And if you want to try either of these beers or any of the other beers we've talked about on previous shows, they can be conveniently found south on Highway 3 in Dundas at Firehouse Liquor.
Look for the fire truck. So we're coming to you from All Pints North up in Duluth, Minnesota. It's just after 3 o'clock. Gates just opened. Rain just started 10 minutes ago. It's pouring. We got our first guest here, Jay Smarty of Shells, August Shells Brewing, Star Keller.
And you guys look pretty popular. Your tent is full right now, but I think some people are trying to get out of the rain, but I'm sure they're here for the beer as well.
Yeah, they're just hiding in the rain. They just picked a good booth to just hang out and ride out the storm. I think we'll be fine in a couple minutes. But.
Yeah, I think it's going to pass. We'll report on that in our next interview. Yeah. Obviously, it just starts. So you can't really gauge how well it's going, how people are talking about the beer, but why don't you kind of talk about what beer you guys have on hand today, what's going to be available later? Is it stuff you usually have around in distribution or stuff that can get down the Starkeller? What do you have today?
Yeah, we brought a bunch of stuff that's not available. I think that's part of All Pints North is you always do want to bring some special stuff. So we got a Whitbeer is part of our next sampler pack. Whitbeer and then the Smoked Hellas are two of them. Citra Blanc is a new beer for us, so we have that. But we have a Squirrel Aged Frambois. Squirrel is a really cool invention from Black Swan Cooperage in northern Minnesota. Then we got some new sours. We got Basin of Attraction we just released. Solar Evolution is a Flanders Red style Berliner Weiss that we're calling it, and then Funk Junction Peach, which is from our Sour Festival.
Which one stands out for you? If you can only drink one all day today, which one are you having?
I'm digging the Squirrel Frambois because it's got some of that smoky bourbon barrel character, and it just kind of plays really well with the raspberry. So I've been catching myself pouring that one already just this morning.
Now, do you always make it a point to get up here to All Pints? Is this one of the premier events, not only for the brewery, but for you to attend?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd never miss it. I went to college up here, so any chance I can get to come back to Duluth, even not being from, going to school up here, I just love this city. It's in this festival, too, with it being on the lakefront here and live music and all that stuff, it's so much fun. So it's definitely worth a visit.
Well, I appreciate you giving us a few minutes. We'll let you get back to your team. I'm sure they could have a little help from you.
Thank you. Have fun, guys.
So now we're heading over to talk to Dave with Surly Brewing Company. The rain is lighting up. We were telling people we're going to give them reports as we go along. Still coming down a little bit, but we found a nice tent and some delicious beer here from Surly. Dave, thanks for talking to us.
Hey, great to be on with you guys.
And you were saying before we started talking, this is your fifth year up here. I'm guessing it's changed a little bit over that time. Today looks pretty frantic. Everyone was running from the rain to find a tent. But do people usually run to your tent when the doors open?
Most definitely. This is the running for a different reason, more like shelter than beer, I would probably argue. It's going to be a weird start to this whole fest, but the excitement is still in the air. Now that people are drying off in front of us, all they want to do is get the beer, try it out.
And you guys always bring a fun lineup to these festivals. I think you got, eight beers on tap here today. Why don't you just walk us through what you kind of have. Looks like a mix of some favorites. Maybe you did some adjuncts on some other things. Some are new, and some look like you've been sitting on them for a while.
Yeah, we always try and – so, this is a guild event. It kind of becomes an arms race between all of us local breweries here in the state. It's a really good time to show off, show what we all can do. So probably our first beer that will end up running out of here is Surly Darkness. That's – probably about two out of every three pours right now will be that.
So people have heard of that beer before, right?
Oh, most definitely. They're seeking that one out, exactly. But we do have a couple exclusive or new beers to bring out here. We have our Rosé, which is a blackcurrant and strawberry-infused lager that's super drinkable. When the sun comes out here, that will probably just be open. The tap will just be open with glasses gumming under it. It's going to be a real crusher. We also brought a new triple IPA that we're in development, and I think we're going to try and get that in cans later. So this is people's first chance to try that out. A couple things we've been sitting on, a barrel-aged oat wine, which just I think that's coming out in the market here pretty soon. It's definitely been bottled. And we've also got a couple of our anniversary beers, Surly 10 and Surly 11. And the Surly 10... comes aged in rum barrels. It was a total hit last year at this festival, and people just really begged for it to come back. So I expect that'll be a pretty popular one too.
So you're loaded with those so-called crushable sessional beers for summer, right? That's your whole lineup here.
Yeah,
just a couple small ones.
We're loaded by Surly standards because I think we've only got 4 or 10% ales here. So I mean.
We'll be working our way through them. I have the BA10 right here. Obviously, I got to get the Darkness after this. That triple IPA, I missed that on the list. So once you said that, my ears kind of perked up. So I'll have to end this short so I can go over there and grab that real quick. But you said I think this is your fifth year. There's always excitement around it. I mean, has this really grown over the last 5 years? I think this is, the seventh or eighth year they've done it. I mean, what kind of growth have you seen with the festival in that time?
So this event has totally grown, and it's changed what it's meant. We started doing, our guild has started doing meetings and essentially like conferences on the Friday leading up to the weekend, which pretty much this ends up being like the closest thing to a total guild reunion. So if you want to get all the breweries and like the decision makers here in Minnesota together, this is probably the closest we really get. So it's kind of like a vacation getaway reunion. So there's a ton of energy from the brewing side. I mean, we do fests pretty much every week of the year in some facet or another, but this one is the one that's circled on the calendars for pretty much everyone here. So, and that's totally evolved in the last 4 or 5 years.
That's a great point. I think from the consumer side, people are clearly aware of coming in and consuming beer, but they don't understand that there's education and the conference side of it, that you guys get together, have some meetings, do some educational pieces. So I think that's good for folks to know that it's not just a reason to come up and have a few beers. You guys are swapping stories, swapping ideas, and learning from one another.
Yeah, there's a lot. There's so much commingling. I mean, with the brewing community is such a tight one anyway. I mean, like, it's not competitive in the sense of like other business, you know, like we're competitive against our own products, but people aren't underselling people. It's not cutthroat. Like most of us have worked with all these people in different ways. And this is when you get together, we touch base and it's just a really, really cool event from the brewing side, from the production side. And that I think really makes it unique among like the fests here in the state.
Well, appreciate your time, Dave.
Hey, thank you very much for having me, guys.
All right, we're here with Steve Pittman with Tanswell Brewing. You know him well because they're obviously in our area of the woods here. But you're up here at All Pines North. How's it going up here?
Oh, good so far. We scrambled today to get in. Had a little emergency this morning, but we were able to get here right when the public got open, so that's great.
So we see you have two beers on tap right now, and you got a special release coming up. Tell us what you got.
So right now we have our Funky Dunk series is essentially a kettle sour series. This summer it is a strawberry goza with strawberries made from Lawrence's Berry Farm here in, or I should say down in Northfield when we're up in Duluth. And we have our classic Smithereen New England Style IPA, which is a crowd favorite. It's our best seller. The special release, what we are doing today, is our Beer and Trembling, which is our New England Style farmhouse ale that's made with limes and lemongrass. So we're going to release that probably somewhere around 5 o'clock today. So, or until the first keg runs out, essentially.
Well, those sound awesome. We're going to have to try the Gosa here pretty soon. Been a hit so far with the fans?
So far, the Gosa for sure. People love IPAs. There's probably a million IPAs out here. So, but I think ours is particularly strong. What I brought today, I literally kegged this morning. That's it's as fresh as it can possibly get. The hops are just booming right out of the glass right now. So I'm happy that I'm bringing something like that here to the Festi too for people. So.
And on the limited release, are we going to have that in Northfield as well? We'll be able to pick it up after the show, or is it really just for the show?
No. Everything that we have is going to be in the tap room. It's in the tap room as of today, right now. So. You know, come on down to Tanzenwald. You can enjoy everything that I brought to the festival, essentially. So.
Well, awesome. Thank you very much for your time, Steve.
Yeah, thanks, guys. It's always good to talk to you, see you, everything.
All right, now we're here at number 4 interview. We got a long day ahead of us. We're about halfway done. We're chatting with Mike from Summit Brewing Company. Mike, how's it going?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm still a little wet. It's drying up. It's getting a little sticky out. The sun has come out. The rain has dropped. You just showed me a cool video that you said we'll get involved in a video later on where you just, you know, dumped casually some water off top of the tent.
Embrace the rain, man, you know. Embrace the event.
This is Minnesota. You got to be ready for all weather.
Exactly.
I can tell you, though, as we stood outside waiting to get in, there were about 4 people out of 500 that had an umbrella. So nobody came prepared, but I think we're all okay in the end.
Well, the weatherman said it wasn't going to rain at all. Maybe a 5% chance, so, you know.
And those are the odds. We rolled with them. But now here we are. Everyone's having a good time enjoying some beer. Summit, obviously, a long legacy here in Minnesota, here representing again. You guys got a really cool lineup today. Some of the old favorites, some new stuff. Why don't you give us a rundown on what you guys have on tap today?
I was surprised. You know, I didn't, like, hear the lineup until this afternoon. We have our Imperial Stout and our Old Blagger Barley Wine on tap, which I didn't know we had still those kegs available.
Which are great. And I walked up and saw them, like, yep, going to get those.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, who expected us to have those? And then we have some of our cans, our new cans, our Dakota Soul. That's our new Pilsner. We have our Keller Pils, one of my favorites.
We have our, I think our Oktoberfest, which this is the release of our Oktoberfest for this year, as well as Cranky Woodsman. It's a new fall seasonal for this year. You know, it's another world premiere for that. And then our, what else, Saga and something like that. So we're,
it's a great lineup. I'm on the fence yesterday. So this show airs, when this is airing, this happened the week prior that we're talking. Okay. Yesterday, so 7-8 days ago, I received some Oktoberfest and some Cranky Woodsman. So I'm on the fence if I should be having some now. Like, obviously I know Oktoberfest, it's great. But Cranky Woodsman, I'm not sure if I should dabble today or wait till I get back home and get ready to talk about it on the show. What do you think?
If you have it, drink it. Try it now. You have it at home. You'll be good. Do it.
I can now confirm that by the time you hear this, I've already had that beer. So what's the standout for you? I mean, is it you kind of alluded to the excitement seeing the old Blagard come back, the Russian Imperial style. I mean, those kind of stand out to you, or is it the new offerings for the fall?
Well, no, like for me, it's like the new offerings for the fall are pretty cool. I love Oktoberfest every time it comes out every year. I've been to Germany the last few years for Oktoberfest. I love that. Love German beer culture and stuff like that. But I didn't realize we're going to get those back here, the Imperial Stout and the Old Blagard. And it just gives, like, the customers here at the Beer Fest, like, something that they didn't expect. It's like, they thought that was gone, but it's here. We still had a couple six barrels lying around, and it's good to share with them. But me, personally, I'm, like, all about Oktoberfest, and the Cranky Woodsman is, like, that's a really cool beer.
And before we started chatting, you said it's been about 4 years since you've been up for All Pints North. What's it been like experiencing? We're only about 45 minutes into today's festival, but just seeing the number of breweries here, the amount of people here, and talk us through a little bit about the anticipation you had to come back up, because I'm sure, just like us, you get a little giddy that, you know, it's on the calendar.
Like me, it's like I didn't realize I was coming up here until about 3 weeks ago, so it's not even on my calendar at all. So I'm like going, yes, it'll be fun. But then I heard the numbers, like 4,000 people. I'm not sure if it was 4,000 when I was here 4 years ago.
So I undersold it when I said 500. I have no clue. I'm really bad at counting.
Yeah. No, it's like I heard totally 5,000, including the vendors and, you know, people that go here. But like 4 years ago, we didn't have 120 brewers from Minnesota only. And the whole explosion of new breweries, I mean, this brewery's new, that, you know, like I'm just pointing out these new breweries.
Yeah, just pointing around. You can
you know, I've been brewing at Summit for I've been there for almost 22 years. And when I started, there was 5 in Minnesota, and now there's I don't know how many. It's great. I love it. You got to try all the new styles. You know, everybody's loving what they're doing, and I don't know. It's a great thing.
Well, it's been great chatting with you, Mike. Thanks for your time.
Yeah, thank you for stopping by, and let's just keep enjoying great beer.
I'm going to go get some good beer right now from you guys.
Yeah, do it.
All right, we're here at All Pints North. Now we're talking to Tom Giesen, one of the co-owners of Giesen Brewery in New Prague. You've heard us talk to Aaron a few times, but it'll be the first time talking to Tom. How's it going today?
It's awesome. This is a great crowd. I mean, this is definitely more than we expected. We're super busy, and we just tapped our Russian Imperial barrel aged, and it's going great.
And I can say, being the first person to have that, it is very great. I'm loving that beer. So you've got 4 tap lines right now. You're running, obviously, the one you just tapped. What are the other beers you brought today?
We brought our Hildy's Helles. That's one of our flagships. The Bavarian Gangsta, our German IPA. And then we've got our Cherry Palm Lemmy Wings, our Berliner Weiss.
Yeah, I've had everything else but the Berliner Weiss. Is that a new one or a specialty one, or is that going to be one that's going to be on a regular basis?
Nope, that's a new one. That's kind of a summer seasonal. And we have a regular Berliner Weiss. This one just happens to be infused cherry palm, and it's delightful. Yeah.
Well, and as always, you guys name them wonderful creative names there. I always love going in and asking Aaron, how did that one come about, with the name of that one? But
Yeah, no, Lemmy Winks is that's a South Park reference.
Yeah, Corey's giving the thumbs up on the limited release. The barrel age is phenomenal. Yeah. Will that be in the tap room as well?
So we had a tap for a little while. We're going to bring it back for our anniversary in October. We might tap one in a few weeks for Dojinki Festival in New Prague, but it'll be that one we'll bring on throughout the year.
It's phenomenal, folks. If you get a chance, follow you on Facebook, you'll know if that one's out at all. So
yep, we'll put it out on Facebook anytime we tap anything.
All right, so this is your guys' first time at the festival. What are your thoughts on it?
It's awesome. I mean, it's beautiful out right along the water. Ton of people and great music. I mean, it's really fun. This is cool.
Did you come up last night for some of the other conference stuff? get a chance to hang out with a lot of the other brewer owners and brewers and such?
We had a representative. Justine was here, one of our employees. But I was actually working the tap room last night and brought up all the beer this morning. So it's okay. I mean, next year we're going to make a whole weekend out of it. But this year, we're just happy to be here. This is awesome.
Well, I'm glad to see you guys up here. I'm glad you have your Helles Lager up here. It's one of my favorite lagers. You know, I go there, Aaron points to all these beers I should have, and I'm like, I'm starting with your lager because that is the best lager I can get. I'm going to have that first, so I'm glad to see you representing that well up here.
Yeah, no, we knew we had to bring a couple flagships, and Helles is, I mean, that's our big one. That's what everybody wants, so we knew we had to bring that in the gangsta. It's great.
Well, Tom, thank you for joining us here at All Pints North. Yeah,
thank you for having me.
So we're hanging out with Brett now from Bent Paddle Brewing Company from Duluth, right up here. So you're in your backyard. You don't have to travel too far.
Totally, yeah. We're right here in Duluth, Lincoln Park neighborhood, West Duluth.
And you guys have your new tap room space open. I know I'm going to hit there after this. My wife's with me. Fortunately, she's not here, so she's a sober driver. Thanks, honey. And she's going to bring me down. We're staying down that way in an Airbnb, so we're going to be hanging out there tonight. So nice. You going to be down there?
Yeah, it's a great spot to come out and hang out.
You're going to be ready to go tonight to hang out, or you're going to be going home
we'll
after
see.
This?
We've
it's
been
a long
here since
day.
11, so we'll see how it goes.
Well, we'll report back later if I see Brent down at the tap room tonight.
Perfect.
But it's got to be cool having everyone come up to Duluth. This is, I think, the 7th annual or 8th annual event up here. It's obviously grown year after year, more breweries to come. It's got to be a blast having all these people in Duluth and just seeing what people have to offer.
It's awesome to see all the breweries come to our town and bring the best of the best. And we try to you know, step up our game a little bit too and have a nice big presence here, but we also welcome people to the tap room, and it's fun. We're in Bayfront Park right on the lake. The weather's beautiful.
So talk about stepping up the game. We were talking about the beer list. You said you've got only one year-round beer. You've got a lot of special stuff here today. Let people know what they're missing out on and maybe if they can get any of those items later on.
Yeah, so the Venture Pils is our year-round beer, one of the first beers we brewed. That's what we brought, but this year with the new addition to the tap room, we added a 7-barrel pilot system. So it allows us to do a lot of more research and development, new beers. Blueberry Blonde is a beer we brewed for the Lake Superior Zoo. So it's our blonde ale as a base, added in fresh blueberries. Rotator IPA is something our brewer Neil has been playing with. It's a really dank IPA with Denali and Simcoe hops. We've got a Berliner Weiss, apricot peach. A version of our cold press black with lime and vanilla bean. Tea Break Blonde is a kind of an Arnie Palmer take on a beer, green tea and lemon. We've got our Citrus Party Canoe, and the last one is Wade Witt, which we brewed for Wade Stadium here in Duluth.
So the Tea Break and the Citrus Party Canoe, those are available out in stores right now, right?
Yeah, those are in 16-ounce cans, also draft, available all summer.
So obviously, folks who missed out on some of those offerings can still get some of those other fun things. So definitely go look for that. You're sipping on water right now, but if you've got one beer you're drinking today off of your list, what are you drinking on all day?
I'm in love with the Berliner Weiss right now. Yeah.
And it's heating up. You know, we were talking earlier in the show. We've done 5 interviews. This is the 6th. You know, it was raining, obviously, right at the start, which is always a fun way to kick things off. The heat is rising, though. The sun's out, starting to get a little sticky. So that sounds like a good choice for an 85, 90-degree day along the water.
Yeah, you're hugging just over 4% alcohol on that one, so it's a nice sipper.
Good.
Keep you hydrated.
Good choice. And then maybe this is a little latitude because you guys are a hometown brewery, but you got something fun going here across from your tent. All I hear is people yelling, and I see some kind of beer pong thing in water. What's going on?
Yeah, so we decided to create paddle pong this year, which is a version of Battleship in the water mixed with beer pong. So all the ships represent the Great Lakes, and you face off against another team.
Well, you got like a great circus ringleader over there because we were walking by getting over the interview. He just yelled, "Hey, we need 3 more people. We need 3 more people. Come on down." Yeah. So whoever that is, he might need like at least a 2% merit increase or something like that.
That's Sean. He's one of our beer tenders in the tap room, and he's good at his job.
All right, let's not tell him I said that because, you know, who wants to give raises these days?
Totally. So.
Well, thanks for your time. Appreciate it, Brent.
No problem. Cheers.
All right, now we're talking to Dave with Hoops Brewing up here in Duluth, obviously a local brewery. Welcome, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much, Ian.
Yeah, well, no, we were Dave's nice enough to join us. He's obviously
Sorry, dude. It's fine.
No, we're happy to have you join us. Obviously, you have one of the, in my opinion, the best brewery in Duluth, as I've said on a few shows already. Also, I know you've got a lot of pedigree, a lot of time here in Duluth, so thank you for taking time out with us. Also, I like your idea of getting away from the tent, so if you'll notice, this one's a little quieter interview compared to the last one because we stepped away from the crowd. But so, obviously, you've been to pretty much every one of these Alpines Norths. How's this one going so far?
This one is pretty great so far. The coolest thing was that big rain shower right when the doors opened. It just poured, and so people came in and they didn't just immediately start double fisting it, and it was like kind of a nice slow roll. And as we look at this now, we're standing on a hill. It is a pretty epic view of what we're looking at. Number one, this festival is hands down the most beautiful scenic festival, you know, beer fest in the state, if not the Midwest. A great taste in this one will have a, they can have a like a knockdown drag out, see who wins that wrestling match. But generally speaking, I think this is the premier beer fest in the state. And as you can see, it's kind of a mellow vibe, but highly, what's the word I want to use? I don't know, the overall feeling is one of kind of happiness out here. I mean, I don't know.
Joyful.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, the people are happy. The temperature's about spot on. There's not a skeet to be found. So I'm going to give this one of the last seven. I'm going to right now say it's in the top two at 5 o'clock.
Well, yeah, it's been wonderful weather, other than obviously the rain, as we're all standing. You know, we couldn't get in through the gates until 3. The rain starts at about 2:50, so everyone's getting soaked. So everyone was very happy for most of the breweries that have an extra canopy to sit under. But yeah, the weather outside of that has been absolutely amazing. I am arguably one of the biggest fanboys for Hoops because it's my first destination when I get up here. We're staying in the suites because obviously it's right there, close by. You can get over there. And of course, you brought a great selection of beers here, a bunch of which I saw on tap yesterday.
Okay, yep. So the beers at the brewery, we usually keep 20 up to 28 beers on tap, usually at least 25. And one of our models is like something for everyone, too many choices. You know, if you can't find a beer here you don't like, well then go find a brewery with a hazy beer or something like that, you know. So we don't make those, right? But otherwise we make most styles. So today we brought some of our standards. We only make 5 standard beers, and we brought two of them here. Three. And then the other ones were some fun stuff. We infused our Hefeweizen with raspberries. We really play with hatch chilies a lot. I've always made chili beers my whole career. Some I designed to hurt people, you know, in the bathroom later probably. But others are like moderate and whatever. And so we infused our light ale with cherries and hatch chilies. And that's already gone. It's already gone. Like it already blew. It's like ridiculous, right? Right, I'm mad too because as a way of doing a tour, I couldn't wait to drink it. But then we brought, we also brought, a nice IPA, a nice pale ale, because I personally believe that when I judge a brewery, I start with their pale ale, and then I kind of branch out. And then we brought a couple nice German lagers because that's kind of a style. Well, German lagers are kind of my life's work as far as making them great. The Germans will explain to you in great detail how they make the best beer in the world for hours.
Well, yeah. I was going to say that was the first beer I had last night. I grabbed the Helles Lager just because lately I've really been trying to try somebody's lager, find out. I think it's a great starting off point to find out what a brewery can do and stuff. And again, yours is top shelf all the way.
Oh, thank you very much. Our Munich Lager, which we're pouring down there, I recommend you try. It's based on a beer out of Augustiner in Munich called Edelstoff. Just try it. It's rare that I actually really love a beer I make, so I'm going to go on record on that one. So, yeah.
Due to an audio issue, we lost the last minute of our interview with Dave Hoops of Hoops Brewing, but we really do appreciate him taking the time to talk to us during his busy schedule at the show and hope to talk to him again soon.
All right, we're catching up with our last interview of the day. It's about 5 o'clock. We're about halfway through Alpines North here in Duluth. We're hanging out with Eric from Bad Habit Brewing Company out of St. Joseph, Minnesota. They were nice enough to send us some crawlers back about a year ago when I took a tour up that way and hit up a bunch of places. And they were generous, treated me a little bit in the tap room, which is a great tap room. We'll talk a little bit about that. Sent us back with some beer. I think we gave them some glowing reviews. And we thought we'd catch up with them here at Alpines North. How's it going, Eric?
It's going wonderful. It's a beautiful day. We had a little bit of rain, but that's gone now. Sun's shining. There's tons of people here.
And yeah, it's fantastic.
Yeah, we've kind of gone Sven Sundsgaard on the bay. We've kind of been giving like weather reports throughout the day because obviously right at 3 when we opened, we were hanging out with Chase over at Shell's and just pouring, right? And of course, we're the schleps outside because we're not in the brewing industry necessarily, so we didn't get in before open time. So we're outside and about 10-2, just heavy rain. Heavy, cold, big drops. And about 30 minutes later, it cleared up, sun came out, and we were kind of predicting it because, you know, we've been to Minnesota before. We said, it's going to get humid. It's going to get a little warm, but it'll be okay.
What an awesome, like, way to start the day with just a huge downpour. And then it stopped, and it's beautiful.
Well, you can only go up from there, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So did you get that huge rust right away? Obviously, you guys are a little bit off from the main gate, but, you know, we were joking that some of those first breweries right by the main gate. I know they're popular places, but I've never seen them be more popular because they were the first tents people could run to and get some guard.
It wasn't just a rush. That rain encouraged the rush even further, so it was a mad rush to anybody that had a tent.
And you guys, you've been open for a couple of years now. I think you guys are building a really strong reputation throughout the state, not just in the St. Cloud area. For those who don't know, St. Joseph, just up the way from St. Cloud. Like we said, we've had you on the show before, some of your beer. People have really enjoyed your beer. You guys are known for doing a lot of fun IPAs, some good stouts, some other things too. You've got a good line going right now. What do you guys have on today?
Okay, today we brought with us 7 beers. 3 of those beers are taproom staples. The Golden Ale, the Habitual IPA, the Dark Addiction Chocolate Milk Stout, and then we have 4 others that are included in our rotation in the taproom. We have a Nerd Bomber, it's a Brut IPA. We have Lemon Fresh, one of my favorite. It's a Lemon Radler. It's fresh lemons in a light ale base. It's light alcohol. It's really refreshing, and it's one of the best, I guess it's not sellers, but one of the best, most favorite beers of the day, I guess, because, yeah, it's going. It's going fast. And then we have a Rather Ripped. It's a milkshake IPA with blood orange in it. That's a rotating beer that we do. And when we make it, we'll... every time we'll put a different fruit into it. And then we have our Born and Razzed. That's kind of been our July beer every year. It's our summer seasonal. It's a wheat beer with raspberry puree in it.
Give me a little cliff notes on the Brut IPA. I kind of see that kind of blowing up everywhere. We had a video on our Facebook page maybe 6 weeks ago, 8 weeks ago, with Tim Roats down in Roats Brewing, down in Roach Jordan Brewery, that he was doing a Brut IPA. I've seen it pop up a few other places. You guys have one today. It's kind of an interesting beer, and it's kind of growing. People are getting interested in it.
Yeah, it's funny. So when I was homebrewing, I was kind of experimenting with different yeasts, and so this is a beer that is starting to get popular out in the West Coast. It's called a Brut IPA. It's an IPA, of course. It's finished off with a champagne yeast rather than your normal ale yeast. And what champagne yeast does that a normal ale yeast doesn't do is it eats more of the sugars up, so it leaves it drier. And then it's still hopped, so you have this very carbonated, dry, but yet slightly hoppy kind of champagne-y IPA, and it's starting to spread in the Midwest as well.
Yeah, it's a great drinker for today. It's probably pushing 80 or so, sun's out. We were talking about the weather. Again, Sven Sundsgaard here live from Duluth, and... It's a great, I was sipping on here as we're talking, because when I'm not talking, I can drink, and I'm allowed to do that, because it's a beer show. Great lineup, I know I'm going to get a couple more. We alluded to earlier, you guys have been going for, what, 2-3 years now?
Almost 3 years, yes.
And you guys have been doing well. I mean, anyone who is in the beer culture kind of keeps tabs around state, and for outside the cities, which some people don't take care of by taking notice of, but those who do, I think they see Bad Habit pop up a lot. And you guys are actually doing a little expansion. I know you guys had like kind of a joke video there a couple months ago about the expansion of moving a wall to get some additional brewing equipment, but you might have some other plans in place.
It's been an incredible like 2.5 years. When we first started, we started with 3 5-barrel tanks, and it wasn't that much longer. We added a fourth, and even then I was like, wow. I'm like, holy crap, we're adding another tank. We have 4 tanks now. It's incredible. Never would we have thought that 2 years later we'd have almost double that. So we have 7 fermenters now that we added 3 more tanks last week. So now we're up to 7 fermenters. And eventually soon, it looks like we're going to try moving around the corner to a new building.
Well, kudos to the growth. Kudos to the excellence that you guys have been doing. Obviously, people like it. We enjoyed the beer you sent with us. We'll have to get up there maybe before you guys move, but also after you move. And just maybe bring in the new space with you. So thanks for talking with us today. We appreciate it.
Thank you guys for coming and talking to me. Like you were saying, how our name is getting out there. It's truly humbling when people come to me and they tell me that they're hearing our name, Bad Habit, around this state. It just blows my mind to hear that, because we're just a couple small town guys that not long ago were just doing this in our garages, and it's really cool to hear people from the cities and everything talking about us and coming up to have our beer.
Thanks for joining us.
Hey, this is Andrew Burns, and for our style of the week, we're going to go sour. We're talking about a Flanders Red. This is a Belgian or a French-style beer. It comes from the Flanders region, and it is sour. So sour beers involve bacteria in addition to just regular old brewer's yeast. In this case, we've got two main bacteria going on. We've got lactobacillus, which creates a tart, acidic quality, and Brettanomyces, which creates a funky fermented characteristic, almost like blue cheese or fancy wine. So we've got our Brett and our lacto and then our regular ale yeast, and they work together to create a complex sour beer. Now, what's great about a Flanders Red Ale is that it's usually not as sour and not as funky as some of the more extreme versions of that style. So it's a great entry point if you want to try out a sour beer without committing to the whole sour experience. You get a great malty richness and sweetness from the red-colored malts, but expect a dry finish. It won't have a lingering syrupy sweetness. Instead, it'll be a dry, refreshing beer with a delightful tartness and just a hint of funk.
So let me set the scene here. It's the week of All Pints North. We're going to head up there here shortly. It's late afternoon on a day we won't name. It's a day that ends in day that we're enjoying drinking some beer. We've got Corey and Ira here. I'm Corey.
And I'm Ira.
And that's the last you'll hear of him, thankfully. And we're sitting here deck side at Chapel Brewing in Dundas, looking at the lovely Cannon River. And we're sitting with Tim with the Jed Mahonis Group. See, I almost called you Jed Mahonis. You'd hear him laugh, but I should say also now that we're only having one mic that we're using, so we're going to take turns, so just be patient with us on that. Same here with Tim, whose company developed the mncraft.beer app, which we've talked about on the show previously. They were graciously supporting one of our episodes previously, and will support us again here too, but we wanted to bring them on because we thought it's newsworthy because it's such a cool app that Ira and I actually are strong supporters of. We got in on the beta session when that was open and initially established a relationship with Tim through that and have really enjoyed the app. So we want to bring you on and have you kind of explain the app for those who haven't had the opportunity to delve into it yet and kind of see all the features it offers. So why don't you tell us a little bit about the idea behind the app and what the app does?
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Corey. I really appreciate it. And Ira, I know you can't respond, but thank you for having me on. Yeah, the app is very basic. My wife and I are really into craft beer, and we're really into visiting all the craft breweries in the state. So built this app that lets you, it's very basic, very straightforward. You just check into, basically you open up the app and you see a big list of all the breweries that are in the state and nice map as well. You can pick out a brewery, check into it, mark it as visited, and it gives you all the information about that brewery. So you can see operating hours, you can see their website. I put their Twitter on because everyone wants to know what the food truck is at the brewery, and usually people put it on Twitter or their website. You can also call them. I know not a lot of people like to call, but you can call the breweries as well, and it's a really straightforward app, like I said. And also you can check in with Untappd. If you sign in with your Untappd account, you can see which beers you've had at that brewery. You can check right into those beers from the app. And really, it's just an app. If you're in Minnesota and you're into beer, you'd probably be foolish not to have this app on your phone because it's free.
Well, that's a good point, too. It's free, and I want to talk to you about that real quick. But before I do that, I think two features, unless I misheard you when someone's driving by, that you didn't mention were you could set your location, so it actually tells you what breweries are nearby. So we're sitting on the Chapel deck right now. If I open my phone right now, and I have the app, and I'm not just saying that, I can show you if you don't believe me. It'll say Chapel's probably within 0.1 miles of where I'm at, and then it'll say... Depends how accurate Google wants to get, I'm guessing. Google, right? You use Google?
Google or app. It's your built-in phone's GPS tells you.
Okay, well, I have a 99% trust in Google, so they're probably 0.1 miles away. It'll say Eminet's roughly, 2 or 3 miles away, and then Tanzanwall's probably 3 miles away, something like that. So I think that's a great feature, especially if you're exploring. I know you just went on a trip. I think we're going to talk about that a little bit. When you're just driving through somewhere and you want to see who's nearby, even within 60 miles, 200 miles, it lets you know.
I've actually used the feature where I pulled into a town and bring up the app, and it tells you about how far away you are from the app, and then just click on the directions quick, and boom, you're right there. It's been a wonderful feature for that, just for getting around and exploring, because, like you said, you don't want to sit there and if you're going through Google and you're trying to find an address and trying to find out where to go and the rest of it, and all of a sudden, it tells me, oh, there's the brewery. It's open. Gives me the hours. I can click on it. I instantly can get directions. Quick way to do it. Wonderful app.
Yeah, and now you made me a liar because I said we wouldn't hear from you again. No. Hopefully the background laughter picked up on that. But I love it for that reason. I mean, I'm not planning a trip, but my wife and our family are going on a trip next month to Wisconsin. So I'm doing the old Google, like Wisconsin breweries, what's going to be in the area. And, you can find some static websites that maybe have some information like that. But having it in the app form is just great. And obviously you're not in Wisconsin. You focus on Minnesota because why wouldn't you, right? We live in Minnesota and we have a lot of great breweries. The other thing I like about it, well, related to that is, I'm a guy who had a map in my basement where I would do the pins. Here's the places I've been. Here's the places that are open that I haven't been. And here are places that are being built right now. And you've kind of removed the need for me to do that. So actually in the last 6 months or so, I haven't really updated that map. It's still on my wall. It still has all the pins because it kind of looks cool because I've been to just about every damn one in the state. So it's an impressive color. And then I had a list below that with all the breweries. But you've kind of removed that with the creation of the app.
Then on top of it, me being an advocate of the app because I love it, I was not the last time we were there because we were doing the interview, but the previous time when I was at Spiral, sitting there having a nice beer, sitting at the bar, talking to the guy next to me who was kind of along the lines of us who likes to get around and visit breweries. And he's like, oh, this is my whatever, 85th brewery that I've been to the state and everything else. And I said, oh, and I pull out the Emin Craft beer, pull it down. I can tell him exactly how many. He goes, he looks at the app and I'm showing him to explain it to him. He goes, oh, I'm tracking it on a piece of paper in my wallet. So it was kind of fun to show, no, you can track it right here electronically. You don't have to sit there and keep a piece of paper in your wallet.
Must be a pretty big wallet. The track 85, small font maybe, he's just writing small. Well, and that's the great part of this. And again, we have one mic, so we're going to keep me as the focus of this interview. No, I'm just joking. But that's exactly it. I tell people about it all the time when I'm having brewery visits and I happen to see someone talk about places nearby or something. So I try to introduce people when I can. And related to that, I think one great feature, you can talk about the ideas behind doing the location-wise tying to your phone, but also this feature where you can, once you check in, it lets you know places you've been and places you haven't been. And that might seem pretty like a simple idea, but it's ingenious because I can see I've been to all but 7 breweries in the state, which I'm not sure if that's good or bad for me. It means I get around, right? But if you're going to be able, one of those completists where you have this list, okay, I've been up to Halleck, and I've been down to Monona, and I've been up to Grand Marais, and I've been down to Laverne, and those are the four corners of the states, because I know, or four corners of the state, because I know, because I've been to all those. Where have I been in between? Okay, there's a few left that I haven't been to. Ira just said he was down in Austin and checked one off. And you're good about keeping those up to date about all new places. Why were having those lists important? Because you could just check them in and not have the actual list and say, okay, I've been here. But were you keeping in mind people who were trying to check them off? And I think you kind of maybe alluded to that a little bit yourself.
Well, yeah. I mean, like I said, I built this app for myself. I think we're all kind of nerds here, and really, if you're tracking, if you're going as far as printing out a map and putting it in your basement and putting pins into it, you're into this thing.
It was a state map I got at the road stop, but I got off at Elko and got that map myself. God damn it!
so you like we all know it's really cool to have data and to know it's something as simple as where have you been, where haven't you been. That's really something we're actually focusing on for the next version of the app, is doing more filtering of that data and being able to really pinpoint, like, where have you been, where haven't you been? Because there's over 150 breweries in the state now, and we all want to make sure that we check out all the new places as we get to them, make sure that they're open, and I want to get to them myself, so I'm going to keep that list up to date as much as I can.
Well, and one of the things I was going to say is with the map that you have with it, not only the location-based stuff like close to you, but you actually have color-coded check marks. So as I'm looking at the map, I can zoom in and literally see, oh, the check marks of all the places. And I'll say, I can see one check mark that I don't have. I'm like, oh, zoom in. Oh, there's one I haven't been to. You know, and I've been meaning to get to that one. Oh, I didn't know that one was there. So, you know, your map already is doing what Corey's basement map is doing in the sense of the ability to check in quickly, look at it, and look at a map, go, oh, I'm going to be in that area. Oh, there's one really close to there. So,
yeah, I think it's a great feature. You can do either by distance or you can just look at the map itself and see places you've been, places you haven't. And that's obviously more important when you're in a place like Minneapolis where there's 30-plus breweries. Okay, I've been to Northeast a bunch. I know there's a bajillion breweries up here. Let me make sure I haven't missed one. You could just zoom in on the map where you're at. So I think that's a great feature. You had mentioned it's a free app. It absolutely is free. It's available on iTunes and the Google Play Store, right? And that doesn't mean you did it for free. You had to put some time and this effort into this. I know you have a feature on there where people can tip jar you. Why was it important for you to do this as a free app? Because, you know, we spend a lot of time on our phones. We spend our time on computers where everything at least costs a couple bucks, $5, and that's how developers make their money. You decide to do it free. Why is that?
Well, I mean, I think being in this space, so my main job is I run an app development company and we work with clients all the time on pricing. And we've seen firsthand that if your app isn't free these days, people won't download it. Even a dollar, people will see that and say, oh, I'm not going to spend a dollar, even though they'll turn around and go down and buy a Big Mac and spend $15 getting fast food. But it's different pricing. So my thought was I might as well make it free so that people can at least get in the door and see the benefits from it. And then there's been this new innovation in app development. I guess you can't call it an innovation. That's kind of lofty. But there's a new trend that's going forward of really make something free and then it's called patronage. So tip where you can. So we have four different options from 99 cents to $99. And if the spirit moves you and you've been getting a lot of value out of the app, then you can leave a couple of bucks, and then that makes it so I can go and buy a beer when I'm every month going through and visiting every single brewery's website and making sure the hours are up to date, and if they move locations, I've got all that up to date. So I just think it's important to be able to get as many people into this scene and to be able to supplement whatever mapping they might have offline as possible, because there's a million different ways you can do this, and I think my way is fun and easy for people to get into it. So,
well, I'm glad you brought that up, because I think there's a lot of momentum behind the idea of supporting those who create, and you give the product either for free or maybe cheap, and people will still support you. I recently acquired a Nintendo Switch. I haven't bought a new system in quite a number of years, and I've been reading on Reddit lately people who are getting Nintendo Switch games where they've already been released previously on a PS4, an Xbox, or Steam. And there'll be a game that gets ported over, and it'll be like the fourth different console or place that's available. Like, oh, I'm buying this game for a third or fourth time. Like, and the personal finance mind in me is like, what? Why are you spending $20 for the fourth time? And I don't write that because I'm not that big of a nerd. I'm not going to respond online, right? But other people respond that way, like, wait, why would you buy this on four different systems? And they say, we want to support the developers. They're giving us at a good price, $15, $20, whatever it might be. And I don't care if I already have it on my PS4. I want it on my Switch because I want to show them I support them. That way, that allows them to do other things that maybe I will like. And I think that's a trend we're seeing in the world right now. I'm not saying it's a generational thing. I think it's just a world shift where people are willing to support those who they support, whether it be on the tech side or elsewhere. So I think that's a cool way to approach it. And hopefully you're getting plenty of tip jars, tips. You're nodding your head, yes. So you got a few bucks at least, I'm sure, right? I want to bring you on, though, too, because you recently took what sounds like a pretty great trip up. What? Let's see, Ira, I used to always say you call it the South Coast. What'd you call it, South Shore? From Winona, the Red Wing?
The East Coast of Minnesota.
But I feel like somebody on the show once called it the South Shore, because we got the North Shore. And I can't remember who, and I thought it was maybe you. But anyway, you started down there, you worked your way north, you cut through the woods, and I think you said you went to something like 15 or 16 breweries. You know, we don't need to go through the whole trip, but just maybe a couple highlights just to share. At least give us allow us to tag some people on social. No, I'm just joking. But no, this is, I'm sure you got plenty of use out of your app doing this trip.
I mean, that was really the whole point of it, was my app was lingering. I wanted to get to 100. I thought that this is the time to do it. And I just had knee surgery recently, and my wife wanted to go to Colorado or go to Mexico or go all these different places to go hiking and enjoy life. But yeah, we had a week without my 2-year-old daughter, so we ended up, yeah, just traveling up the North Shore and hitting up all the different kind of breweries. And yeah, I would say my favorite spot was we went to Cuyuna Brewery. We were talking about before we got into the show that it was really going to tap rooms and checking out different breweries. It's all about the vibe and the ambiance, and the ambiance that we got out of Cuyuna was incredible. And the beer is also top notch. So that was really one of my favorites. But to give full credit to my wife, we went to 17 breweries. So not to throw you under the bus, Corey, but that was where we landed.
Well, I was pretty close. And as I quick Google Crosby, Minnesota, I knew that. Yeah. Yeah, I knew that because this is one of those things I kind of committed to memory that every brewery that opened, I knew where they were. I mean, I'd be like a savant at work, be like, hey, where's that brewery? I'm like, oh, that's, you know, Laverne or whatever, you know, might be. So, well, that's cool. I haven't been up there. I told you that's one I actually cheated on. I kind of drove by in the winter when I was ice fishing and they weren't open the time I came through. I'm like, I saw the front of the building. I'll check that off. But in my heart, I know I lied. So I need to get back up there and check them out. Well, Tim, thanks for taking the time to come visit us in Dundas, Minnesota, Ira's home away from home, and, well, your normal home, your usual home, some of those homes, right?
Of course. It's my favorite little spot in Dundas.
And we were enjoying some beer out here on the Chapel Brewing deck, and appreciate you taking the drive down.
Really appreciate it. Thanks for having me, guys.
That's going to put a wrap on this show. Thank you to the Minnesota Craft Brewers Guild for hosting us and allowing for us really to join them in Duluth for All Pints North and for giving us the opportunity to talk to 8 different folks representing breweries from across the state. I had a great time. Ira, I imagine you had an okay time at least.
I don't know. It was just okay. No, it was a blast. I mean, it's overwhelming, you know, to get a chance to see that many breweries. And then it was actually a little overwhelming of some of the bigger breweries in the state that in a festival like that who were willing to take some time and talk to us and lined up people to talk to us. So,
yeah, so I appreciate all those who worked with me and all those who are willing to talk to us at the festival. Obviously, it doesn't come without a little planning, so I was working on that throughout the summer to get on their radar and for them to give us a little time. So I appreciate all the folks that we chatted with and the folks who I worked with who represent those breweries. So without all those people involved, this show wouldn't have come together. Also, the Guild, obviously, for graciously hosting us and allowing for us to do that. So we appreciate that. Like you said, it's overwhelming, but in a good way. You know, we were really busy. We had basically 2.5 hours of the 4 hours planned out to chat with people because they're clearly busy up there. So we're thankful for them taking the time out to chat with us. You know, we had a little rain. We didn't mention it on the front end. We had a little rain at the beginning of the show, so or the beginning of the event. It's a 4-hour event. Rained about 15 minutes before the gates were going to open, so that made it interesting. And you know, making sure our equipment was okay, making sure people were available, making sure there was space to find the brewers or whoever we're talking to, because everyone was crowding under a tent they could find anywhere because it was a little wet. So great event. I would absolutely recommend anybody to go to it. A lot of people talk about the Duluth event, All Pints North. It's kind of being the premier event in the state for obvious reasons. It's right on Lake Superior, beautiful view, and a lot of people participate. You get a lot of great beers. The Guild, though, has some other events coming up. They're going to have the State Fair later this month where people will have the opportunity to learn some history about Minnesota breweries and beer and sample. They've got, I think, every day there's a different lineup of different beers, or maybe every other day or something like that. They change up the lineups. I think it's basically a flight option where you go in, I want this type of style, and that alternates based on the day. So that's kind of cool. People should check that out. And then they have Autumn Brew Review come up in September, mid-September. It's another great festival. It's held in Minneapolis, a little closer to home probably to most people. So definitely a lot of great events for people to check out. I'd recommend anybody check out a festival. It's an opportunity to go check out some beer that maybe you wouldn't have access to otherwise because they're not near you and they don't have distribution, or you don't know somebody who is going to be up that way and can bring you back beer. So it's a great opportunity to try some beer that you may not get your chance to try otherwise. And they're small pours, 2-3 ounces. So you can do it responsibly.
Of course.
As everybody does. So thanks to all those folks for giving us some time. Thanks to you for listening. If you want to find out who we've got coming up on the show in the future, head to facebook.com/ontapnorfield. You can see all our expected guests. Those are those who we'll have on the show here shortly. And we'll be back here 2 weeks on 95.1 FM, 1080 KYMN Radio with another festival. We're heading down to Rochester for the 2nd annual Kegs and Barrels Festival. So another fun event. This is a charitable event raising monies for Paws and Claws down there. We'll have all the guests we had back from last year representing Kinney Creek Brewery, LTS Brewery, $4 Winery, and Grand Rounds Brewing Company. So it's going to be fun to have it. We're going to do a little bit of a different format. Obviously, today's show was a departure from what we usually do with the long-form interview of one or two people. We had 8 guests today, so that was a big deal for us. That was a change of pace. So next week, we'll have 4 guests. We're going to do 4 independent interviews instead of doing a panel like we did last year. I think it's just a little more control over it, and then we can focus more specifically on each of those people. So that should be a fun show as well, and I'm excited to get back down there and see what they have. I know last year we kind of liked what they had for a theme that was like a grape theme, so everyone that made a special concoction based around grapes. So I'm not sure what they have on tap for this year, but I'm sure it'll be something exciting.
Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to getting down there again. It was a lot of fun the last time around.
So check us back in 2 weeks, 11 a.m., here on KYMN Radio, 95 The One. That's, again, August 18th. Otherwise, look for us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, iTunes, Player FM, Google Play. Just Google us. We'll come up on tap with Corey and Ira. We'll see you in 2 weeks. Cheers.
Cheers.